Hello.
Hello
There.
Hi, Martina. I haven't seen you in so long.
Yes, it's kind of summertime. Vacation meetings are canceled time.
Oh,
Or,
okay.
how are
Yeah.
you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Great.
Retiring soon.
Oh, I do know. We will miss you.
Aw, I'll miss you too, actually. I think I have. I'm counting the days. So today is. I have 16. No, today's Wednesday. I have 15 days, 15 working days left.
Oh, this is coming
Quick.
fast now. Yeah, quick.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know it's getting
Wow.
real really fast, so I'm very excited.
I'm pretty sure that Maura will be joining us today, but I haven't heard from her. So hopefully she'll be here in a few minutes.
I was just going to ask. I was just checking Slack to see if there was anything last minute from her, but I don't see anything, so. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Apologies. All of my screens wanted to be very, very precise this morning when it came to whether or not I clicked on things. So I first off, as I'm hitting the ground running, I would like to congratulate Christine. This is her last SIG meeting today. Because I envy your retirement. So.
Oh, thank you. Yes, my last meeting. It's bittersweet. I will miss all of you.
And who is taking your place? Do you want to introduce them?
Sure. So my friend and MSU colleague, Jay Lantrip, she is in our art library. She is also taking my spot on our, we have an internal user management work group. to handle our staff's folio permission. So she's taking my spot on that group, and as part of that, she's going to also take my spot here at the UM SIG. So yeah, so Jay Lantrip, I'll let her say hi, and then maybe the rest of us can introduce ourselves to her too.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Jay. I'm Maura. I'm a convener, and I work with user management at the University of Chicago Library.
Hi, Jay. Welcome. My name's Amelia Sutton, and I'm the product owner for the Users app and a few of the related apps in Folio. Oh, and I'm at UMass Amherst and the part of the five colleges.
Right.
I'm Uschi Klute. I'm from Germany, and we have a library network with about 200 libraries, and one after another will migrate to Folio. It's just one up to now, but it's going on.
Right.
My name is, oh, go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, my name is Martina Tumula. I'm working at HBZ, which is another network like Uschi's here in Germany. I'm located in Cologne, and we are a public-funded library service center. So, and I have the privilege to do a little demo today about number generators.
Hi, I'm Lauren. So we've got UMass, part of five colleges, same as Amelia. I also do the documentation for the resource access areas of Folio, and this sometimes doing overlap with the users. So I try to come to some of the meetings. Good to see you.
Hi Jay, you already know me. I'm Erin, head of Access Services at MSU.
Right. I'm going to assume, yeah, Tara.
Oh, it's me. Yeah, sorry. I'm Tara. I work at Index Data. I help with migrations and support, and I come here so I can understand what's up with users. Thanks.
Right.
Fantastic. Thank you, everybody.
Right. And so, on to the administrivia of the day. Is there someone who's going to help me take notes today? Anybody?
I can do
I
that.
can take.
Okay,
Okay.
thank you. Also, for the future, since Christine is bidding us adieu and sailing off into the sunset, we are going to need someone to work on users' documentation with the documentation group. So if there's anybody who kind of like wants to, put that on their CV or something, or even just help other people understand what's going on, by all means, reach out. I'll be putting that on Slack as well. So there we are. So the next item on our agenda is for Martina to demonstrate a barcode number generator. Are you ready,
Yes.
Martina?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
I will share my screen. Give me a second. So, so hopefully you can see snapshot and the drop-down menu. Can you see this as well? Okay, perfect. Sometimes it's not showing, so I shared the right thing. So yes, I would like to show you today the number generator functionality for user barcodes and how to set up sequences and talk a little bit about precondition. So what do you need to do or configure before you can actually use those number generators? And finally, of course, do a little demo how it all works. Before I forget this, so this is for Trillium. It's already on Snapshot Eureka and Okapi sn regular Snapshot. For Trillium as well, there will be item barcode in FastAd. This will be for Trillium. The others are in Sunflower. I will tell you a little bit about our little project, and maybe for some of you a little recap. This project is funded by the University Library of Leipzig, and K-INT did the development work, and Leipzig helped with integrating it now in the apps. And what are we talking about? Which fields? We do have three in inventory and receiving. It's accession number, call number, and item barcode. This one here, and we have the code and organizations. So, and of course, which is topic today, the user barcode in users. Those five have, well, you can have several sequences and you can choose your sequence, but you see in this table here, in this wonderful overview, that we have open access and serial managements as well. They use the same concept of number generators, but slightly differently. They have one sequence and it's automatically assigned as a ID number, in this case, pattern number, request number. So this as an overview, and this wonderful table here is an overview of which number generators are available using this approach. We do have other number generators in Folio, but those are using this concept, which I will now show you. What's wonderful about this table as well, you have a little overview of how many sequences there are defined for which number generators. You see eight here for the user barcode or two for the item barcode, for example. So we are in settings right now, in settings service interaction. And this is designed to have more than more settings than only the number generator, but we started out with the number generator. So this is the only item here in service interaction. But for example, the dashboard is using the service interaction backend, but did not need settings. So we started with number generators. So the second item here in service interaction is the number generator sequences. And what is a sequence? A sequence is an incremental number with prefix and suffix, maybe also with a check digit. And you can have more than one, for example, in those five fields I've mentioned. And when you now manage or administer those sequences, the first thing you will do is here in the dropdown for generator, use or select your right number generator, so the users in our case. Of course, now there are some examples here already, but probably you will start fresh. Then you will need to click this button, New, and a window comes up, and then you can define your sequences. So, but those sequences already available are shown here in those tables. And for example, if I click on this one, then you get the fourth pane with all the details of this sequence. So this is actually one of the preconditions for using the number generator. You need at least one sequence to generate a number. So, but of course, you can have more than one. And all of those are examples. I will demonstrate a little bit of what you can do with all those sequences and how flexible we are. So instead of doing a new one, I will go into edit mode here. It's the same window with the same fields. So I will now, well, first of all, we do have the name. The name is important. You will see it later on when you select the sequence you would like to generate a number from. So you would search for the name. Sometimes you can use the prefix, for example. Sometimes you can have a wonderful name, or you can mix out of both. I used, for example, here the two from the prefix and the patron barcode in this case. The second field is the code, and you see it's deactivated right now. You cannot change it. So once you have saved your sequence, your new sequence, you cannot change the code. Why? The code is actually the identifier. So Folio needs this to know which sequence you have selected. So this is the identifier. Then we do have a little checkbox here, and this is called enabled. So this is actually an active sequence you can generate numbers from. You can disable it, then it will be frozen. You cannot select, you cannot generate numbers, but you can enable it again, and then it will continue counting. So we have this functionality of enabling, disabling the sequences. And here in the action menu, there is a delete functionality. So you can delete sequences as well. And if you're in doubt, then I would recommend to disable the sequence first. You can delete it afterwards. But both options are there, and both options do have use cases. So I will skip the note field and come to the sequence settings. So those are four fields. One is the maximum value. So in this case, it's eight digits long, and the highest number is shown here. And then the sequence will reach its maximum, and then it will stop counting, and you cannot select it anymore for generating numbers. You don't have to use this field, but for barcodes, it is essential, I think, because you would like to have the same amount of digits every time. And therefore, you need to use the format field as well, because normally you would use padding, so zeros in front. So you need to fill in here eight zeros matching with the digit number here to have the z leading zeros. If you use the other number generators for other purposes and you don't want to have leading zeros, then you can use the hash, the number sign. In this case, it would be eight number signs here. But for the use case of barcode, since we always want them to be the same length, you would use, of course, the leading zeros. Then we do have a warning threshold value. Again, not a mandatory field, but maybe you will choose to do it. So you see it's slightly under the maximum value. And when the sequence will reach this value, then you will get little hints, warnings that there are only a few numbers left. And then you may take action. For example, you talk to your colleague who's managing here those sequences if you need a new one or other possibilities here. And then we do have the next value field. And usually you start with one, but you can take this field as a starting point. So the next number generated would be a 00 and the 1177. 07 in our case, so the next value. So those are the four fields for the sequence settings. And if you choose to have a check digit, then you would use the checksum settings. Otherwise, you would not bother about those. You would have the none option here. and you would go right to the output settings. But if you would like to have a check digit, we have six calculation methods included, with Loon probably the most popular or the best known of those methods here. So you can select. And then there is our field, the input template. What's this all about? This is only for calculation of the check digit. So you see this token here, the generated number, which is actually the next value in combination with the format. So the two series leading zeros and the next number. And this, of course, will increase over time as a token. And here you have a prefix. The prefix 2 is, for example, the a patron barcode. For example, the 3 would be the item barcode, so it's a prefix. And the next couple of oh, the next couple of digits are, for example, a library code. And those should be included, in this case, in the calculation. So all this here in input template will be used to calculate the check digits. So this is for the calculation purpose. And the output template down below here is for generating the number and for display. So that's why we repeat this prefix, this 2, 2, 3, 5, 6, then the token for the sequential number, and then a token for the check digit. So this is the then will be displayed. It will be calculated with the method chosen here and the input template, and then will be displayed here. So I'm sorry, I see a hand, Mara, and apologies, I don't paid attention to the chat.
Oh, that's all right. I have two questions. The first is that, you have the code as part of your input template, and if I understood this correctly, in this case, you're talking about, like the first two is a, indicates a patron, then it indicates sort of the library where you are or a location. Does that mean that, okay, so if I have that right, does that mean that if I'm creating if I have many libraries, sort of all using the same system, they need their own code in order to make their barcodes? Not like it.
No, this is just an example what you can do with. I will show other examples, and maybe then it's clearer. I started probably with them with one of the most complicated ones to save time maybe, but so no, this is just I explained what the prefix is all about. You yeah, let me show you several other examples and maybe then it's clearer. Okay, so I will go to this wonderful table here. And of course we have eight examples here right now. And then you probably don't need a search. But if you think about call numbers, there could be quite a lot. So we have a wonderful search option here. You can search by name, code, node, field, output template. And then we have two of those filters. The first filter is enabled, so true and false, for example. So this is just an example. So this one is disabled, and it won't be shown in the UI later on in the user menu, user app. And we do have the usage status filter, and this is actually the field where I said you get little hints if the sequence will reach the maximum shortly. So you see, for example, this. Example, it's over the threshold, it's nearly at the maximum, and in this example, it's at maximum, and so does not have any numbers left. So I will just, as promised, show you some of the examples. For example, this one. And this is, for example, there is no method, so no check digit. So we do have those numbers here, and a really easy output template, so just a token. So this, when you choose this one, for example, you get only the increasing the incremental numbers. So as an example, without using a check digit. So then we could, I will go in here, for example. So this has another method, for example, and it has a prefix and then a generated number and a suffix, for example. This all goes into the calculation with this number, with this method. And again, this is here repeated because it's the output template and then it's the check digit. So this is actually, again, a prefix. Maybe it's a library code or maybe it's for something else. So this is just an example. And maybe I can show this one. So this one has again a different method. And only the incremental sequential number will go into the calculation with no prefix, no suffix at all. And the output template does not have prefix. It will have the incremental number, in this case, leading zeros and the next value, then the calculated check digit, and then a suffix. Again, maybe a library code or other purposes, but it is not included in the calculation. So I hope, Mora, did this help you a little bit?
It
So you were
does. Thank you.
very, you are very flexible. So you can have prefixes. You don't have to have prefixes. So it's very flexible.
Yes, thank you very much.
I'm sorry, is there something in chat? Or shall we continue?
I put a question in chat about sort of the when you were showing the max value and the format. And you said that they had to have the same number of digits. Do you get an error right there and then if you sort of like navigate away from one or the other and the digits don't match?
Yes, we can see. Okay, so I will take this away. I'm not, so fill this in to continue because this is now mandatory because you have used the maximum value. And you can now type in again. And you see the save and close will be blue and now active. I may n use a new one to show you. Again, a warning is displayed with the warning threshold value. Just let me get a new one. So if we start with a maximum value, like 3 digit long, so, and then you jump into the format field. And as soon as you have the 3 digits, then it's the warning will go away.
I see. All right. Thank you very much.
Oh, yes, thank you, Amelia. I just read the chat. Yes, we have little information icons to help you understand those fields. We will enhance the format help text soon, so this will be different from now, from the now the one now showing, and of course we do have the documentation in the documentation website, and there is a documentation on the wiki. So as well. Then, okay, so this is precondition one. So you need at least one sequence to generate a number from. So the second precondition is you need to enable the number generator for user barcode in settings users. In this case, the default is off. So some library will not use it, of course. So the default is off. You have actively activated here in the settings. And we have two options. So one is the field editable. This is very flexible. So you can type in your number, you can use the number generator, you can delete, you can add to your number, so very flexible. And the other one is very restrict. You can only use the number generator. You can then generate another one, but you can only use the number generator and not type in manually. There are both use cases for both of them. So maybe the not editable more for barcodes, maybe. But of course, it will work with the field editable as well. So, and of course, you need to save. And this is, of course, one you will do once, and then it will continue unless you say, well, I need to change or turn it off. So, this is precondition two. And precondition three is you need, of course, permissions or capability sets nowadays. So I will go to users and to go to new. Of course, you need the regular, the appropriate permissions to create users, to edit users, the regular one. But in addition, you need a permission to use the sequences. And this is all described in the documentation. So you can see which. Exactly which capability set you need. So, and of course, you may have noticed the generate user barcode down below here, the barcode field. And when you click on this, you get a search box. And in this case, 6 out of 8 in our examples, in our example here, sequences you can choose from. So one is missing because it's deactivated and you cannot search for it. So it's really hidden. The other one, which is missing in our table right now, is the maximum value one. So at maximum. So we do have two of those little wonderful checkboxes. The first one is the maximum value. So you can actually see those or search for those, but you cannot select those. So this is only for information. Maybe the use case is, well, last time there was a sequence and I used it and I cannot find it right now. Well, maybe in the meantime it's at maximum. So this is the use case behind this checkbox search and this at maximum. So you do see in bold, it's the name. Next to it, it's the code of the sequence. Then it's the next value. And those little hints over threshold and at maximum, if you would like. You don't have to use it, but if you would like to use them. So we do have another checkbox down below. This is exact code match. This is used if you would like to search the exact code of the sequence. So in our case, for example, the exact code. Yeah, in this case, it's the 077. So this is what's this checkbox is all about. But again, if you don't have so many sequences, then of course, in our example here, all are shown and you can write select one. So let's take maybe this one and we generate user barcode. And then you see this is the user barcode generated from the sequence. And again, this long prefix here with the two in front and then a four-digit prefix. Then two leading zeros, the incremental number, And the check digit is a zero in this case. So this is actually the first example I have shown you. So this is, and you see we have, you can add, well, it doesn't make any sense right now, but you can add to the number, for example, because it is editable. So, and then I will just type in all those mandatory fields. Just one more and save and close. And you need to save the record so that the barcode is saved and stored. If you cancel your record, then there will be a gap produced. So this is. So I will go again into settings and I will change here field not editable, save, just to show you, and then go back to users, and again, go into in create user mode, and you see the barcode field is deactivated, but you can now search for your sequence, generate a user barcode, and the barcode here is inserted into the barcode field. So, and again, there is a prefix of four digits, and then the incremental number. The one is the suffix, and the eight is the check digit in this case. So this is actually for creating the user barcode. What we are doing for Trillium is using the item barcode for the fast add. This is our use case was circulation purposes. Like if you would like to check out a book, which needs, of course, an item barcode, and you would do a fast add, then you can generate an item barcode there as well to then check it out to one of your patrons. So this is actually, I hope I did not forget anything, but maybe even though you may have cards, you may have barcodes on stickers, but this functionality could be used if you need dummy barcodes. For example, we do have a smaller library who don't have doesn't have library cards, but they need a barcode in the folio record to check out books, for example. So you could use it to create a barcode number. I'm always talking about barcode numbers, not images. So barcode numbers to store in the user record and then to check out through the patron lookup functionality to your patrons. So even you may not use it. It could be handy for those purposes. So, are there questions? Do you have feedback? And again, if you're interested, please test on Eureka Snapshot or Snapshot, and please let me know afterwards. Or if you have questions afterwards, give me a message in Slack. So. Is there anything else in chat?
Martina, is it possible to export the number to print it on a library card?
This is out of scope for our
Yeah,
project.
I know.
So, I don't know. I don't know if there is progress. As I said, I'm talking about barcode numbers, not images. And this it could be very complicated because there are a lot of image, well, rules to create barcode lines, images. There are several, barcodes are not look alike. So this
Several formats, yeah.
formats, yeah. So this could be quite complicated. And of Well, sure. If you use the number generator for barcodes, and you would like to have a library card, then of course somehow you need to transfer the number or the image. But this is out of scope for our project right now.
That might be a tool, just copy and copy the number, the freshly created number, and paste it in a separate tool, which creates the real barcode and print it on a blank card, perhaps.
It
But
might,
it's
yes, it might be the software from the printer, maybe card printer too. So, yeah.
I suppose.
Right. Maybe we should sort of take a survey in Slack to see what people do to print barcodes and, you know, just sort of like see what kind of tools people use, and if they require integration with something like this, or if they can just sort of be used in tandem.
Well, I think most of our libraries buy some ready library cards, but for the internal or test users, test patrons, it's very nice to have the generation. So it's unique, than the barcodes we use in the library.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Test USHI 1, test USHI 2.
Of course. actually, on sort of a related note, because this is of course coming up in Trillium, where Eureka will be the structure of the future when it comes to user capabilities. Should I restart the lab meetings that we would do just so we can familiarize ourselves with changing things over from Okapi to Eureka? Does anybody have an opinion? Okay. But yes, this barcode number generator really looks useful and interesting. You know, I mean, when I create test users in our test system, you know, I have to input the test barcodes for them, but I have a system and it exists only in my brain. So, you know, having a number generator, I think would definitely would help in that kind of situation.
Martina, the accession number generator is from Sunflower.
Yes, it's in Sunflower. So accession
Okay.
number. If you're interested in so inventory or receiving, there's our number generator options, and it looks a little bit because there are more fields, a little bit more options, but you're very flexible. You can for each of those fields you can enable the number generator options as well.
Okay, yeah. Well, I think most of the libraries will not use this in the client, in the Folio client, but from the cataloging system, the CBS, and they're in a script which calls the current or the next number which is stored in the Folio database. And then put it in the tag for cataloging. And so the accession number generator will mostly be used like that. As we do have the the copies, the item cataloging, not in folio, but in the central system.
I
And
know.
there we do have, we need the accession number.
Yes, I think the accession number generator might be one of the most popular then from all of those five, I think so. But I know that there have been discussions around receiving and number generators because right now you need an item, and this does not match with your data flow. So, but there has been discussions around this. Okay, this was a little detour to receiving an inventory, but maybe of interest so to others as well. So if there are no more questions right now,
Amelia
then
has a
thank
question in
oh,
chat.
she did.
I
Oh, I'm
sound
sorry, I
like
didn't.
an image question again.
Oh, it wasn't a question. I just wanted to let Ushi know that you can get user barcodes as an image if you either print a notice or a printed slip. So if you wanted those for like a test user or something, that might be a good way to get that.
That's good. Thank you. Yes, there is an image in those slips. I think it's the format, image format, let me think. Code 128, I think, is the format which is print, what not printed, which is the image, or the lines format for the image. I think it's the code 128 in this case. But for a test user, it you could do a sticker and do it on a card or on a piece of paper and use this for test purposes. That would be wonderful. Yes, thank you. Wow, cool. Good hint. Okay, then. I'm sorry, I did not. Well, I. Oh, I did not have. I took almost the whole hour. So, Amelia, I'm so sorry. I asked for 30 minutes, but
Oh,
I should have known that
of
I could
course.
talk and talk and talk. So. So thank you, Maura, for this agenda slot, and
You, Martina.
hopefully,
This has been very valuable.
thank
So
you.
thank you so much for showing us this number generator and showing
And
us how that function works.
I will go to resource access as well. I don't know when yet, but do a demo there as well. So since they will use it, of course.
Okay. Amelia, you have your hand up?
Oh yeah, I did have one more question, Martina.
Yes.
Do you have any plans to hold a UAT for this? Or what is testing going to look like? Are you just going to do testing in Bugfest?
I think we will do testing in Bugfest, but let me think about it, or we could chat about a UAT for users there as well if there are interest. Otherwise, we could do it maybe. If you're interested, and please test in Eureka a snapshot in Snapshot or Kapi, and give me feedback as well. Maybe this is a lightweight UAT then, but maybe we can get together, Amelia, and chat about a UAT and about plans, maybe, and about
Yeah,
timeline
that sounds
because
good.
f feature freeze it's coming up again. So
Yeah.
it's, yeah. I saw Kalila's message. So, okay. Thank you so much. And okay, 10 minutes for the other agenda item. Sorry for that.
No problem. Amelia, do you want to introduce us to the Jira ticket? We may not have it fully
Yes.
discussed, but we'll have it.
Yeah, so this is, I think it's pretty straightforward, so we might have time to get through it. So this is something that was brought up, I believe, by the QA lead for Polaris. And so currently in inventory, optimistic locking is implemented, and I'm not sure if it's implemented in other areas, but essentially this means that if one user is, or if two users are editing a user at the same time, when the first user saves their record, if the second user tries to save the record, it gives them an error and lets them know that someone else has edited the record and that you'll need to close it and go back to the edit screen. So we don't have this in the users app. My thought is that this is kind of a low priority since I really don't know of any time where I've been editing the same user as someone else at this exact same time. But yeah, I'm just curious if folks are interested in this or if we can close this for now.
Well, go on it, Ushi. Go on.
So,
Yeah.
Amiya, does it refer only to UI options, or when loading pattern data and at the same time editing a single data record, would this help for this too?
So I think this will only apply through the UI.
Ah, okay.
Although I, depending on how it's implemented, I believe in the inventory app, how it's done is there's a record version field, and that field needs to be exactly one greater than the last, the most recent version number. And I'm not exactly how we would do this in users with user import. I assume that user import would be automatically incrementing those. So I think it would probably work in one direction. So if the user load updated a user while a actual person was editing a user, that would be prevented. But if a user was editing a record and the load happened, I think because the load would automatically be incrementing the value, that the load would override.
Okay, well, but I agree with Aaron, low priority for our libraries.
That was what I expected. Maura?
Yeah, it's in practice, I'd call it a low priority. At the same time, it sounds like good programming hygiene, to make it so that two people can't, save the same record, sort of at the same time or within seconds of each other. On the one hand, I have yet to see that become an issue. And this does not affect, like, if someone is using the UI while the API is also accessing the user, correct?
Maybe could if you were using the API directly to the user's endpoint, or using like a load or like bulk edit or something, because I think.
Right. I was thinking in terms of like when I do renewals, that's I do that through the API, and it's just the user and the barcode. And so let's say that when there's a small number left on the third or fourth pass, I'll do it while the library is open. And someone is trying to edit or update the record while I'm, while my little process is, even for, a very short time, even for like a millisecond, is updating the user record, or at least updating, it's not updating the user record, it's using the user record to update the loan.
So
But
I don't think that would have an interaction, because like you said, it's not directly updating the user record itself. It's those endpoints just use the user record or the user ID as a way to find which loans to update, but I don't think it does anything to the user's record itself.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, Tara has a good question in chat.
Is it standardized?
Which is this common? I mean, do we do this everywhere else?
Yeah, so I'm not sure about that. I know that it's done with inventory records,
Yeah.
but I haven't looked around to see if it's done in other apps. I half remember seeing something for orders, maybe.
I was wondering in particular, like whether or not I mean, like setting aside whether or not like the manner in which it's implemented is standard, I was wondering if if the same user wins that a user would expect, like it's not like in users, the user who had it open first wins, and in inventory, it's yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think looks like some of this was implemented in the finance apps. So I'm pretty sure that it always prioritizes whoever saved the record last. But that's something I'd also have to check.
That's fair. Maybe we can wrap this up at our next meeting. I mean, it seems generally like the general feeling here is that it's a low priority item. But the question as to whether this is implemented, in other apps or is being implemented in other apps, is a valid question. So, I think we should include it at the beginning of the next meeting to just sort of wrap that up.
Yeah, I can do some research and see how it's done in other apps and where, so we can have a better idea of all that when we talk about it next.
Yes, and yep. Yes, indeed, Tara. I knew where this was going. Of course, it would ask in cross app soon. But anyway, I think with that, oh, Ushi, go on ahead.
Yeah, I can ask my colleague Julian tomorrow. He implemented the optimistic locking in some areas, so I think he should know.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Thank you. Can you update us in Slack maybe? And then, we'll have that information when we meet next time, and we'll know. So that's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right. And with that, I think we have a we're at time. So thank you everyone for coming. Thank you, Christine, for showing up for the very last time. And for bringing Jay. Hello, Jay. And enjoy your retirement. That's all I can say. And welcome, Jay.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, everyone.